Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Senco Gold Limited Q2 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Avendus Spark. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ranganathan from Avendus Spark. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Avendus Spark, it's our pleasure to host the Q2 FY26 earnings conference call for Senco Gold Limited. Today, from the management side, we have Mr. Suvankarshan, MD and CEO, and Mr. Sanjay Banka, the CFO. Now I hand the conference call to the management for their opening remarks, followed by a Q&A section. Thank you. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Ranganathan. This is Suvankarshan, the MD and CEO of Senco Gold Limited, and we would like to welcome every one of you all to the conference call. And as we begin the call, would be happy to share the updates. Primarily, if we look at it, that this particular quarter, Q2, Senco Gold and Diamonds has achieved a very good performance in terms of increase in profitability, whether you call it adjusted or without adjustments. So in terms of PAT, we have increased our PAT by almost 300% compared to the Q2 of last year, from 12.1 crore to 48.8 crore. And if we take the adjustment of the customs duty impact that was there, still there would be an increase in PAT of 43%. And this is very important, is at this high gold price, you know, when we could see that there were certain headwinds in terms of the sales, especially in the month of September, where consumers were in a mood of, you know, postponing their buying and confused as to what to do with the increase in gold price. And as a result, we have seen that in a consolidated manner, our revenue growth has been about 2%, so about 1536 crore compared to 1500 crore of revenue in the previous year's quarter. And but in a standalone financials, we have seen a 6.6% growth for the company. Now, there are certain good things that has happened during this particular quarter, that we have been able to continuously innovate with jewelry as per the demand of the consumer. And as a result of the planning in terms of marketing, promotion, and product development, we could see that there was a very good response in terms of revenue in the month of October. We had clocked the highest ever sales in any single month of 1,700 crores in the month of October, compared to about 1,100 crores of sales in the previous year's October month of the festive season. And as we speak to you, we have already crossed 5,000 crores of revenue growth, which makes us strong enough that we are moving towards the you know, target of our revenue growth of 7,400 crores for the whole year. So that is one very good sign, and the momentum post the Dhanteras buying also continues to remain strong. There is a strong number of days for the upcoming wedding season. We can see that whether it be November, December, January, February, right up till March, there are large number of wedding days. And there is a sentiment in the consumer's mind that in this volatile gold scenario, the prices of gold could go up, which is making the consumers come and prepone their buying, which is for the next year, to this year, and ensuring that the wedding jewelry sales continue to happen. In terms of average selling price and average ticket price in an increasing gold scenario, we have seen that it has almost gone up by 16% to 86,200 rupees. So that is one important point to take note of. The other aspect that we need to take note of is that the old gold exchange in the overall transactions that we do with the consumers, that has gone up to 42 to 43% from a 35% a year back, which is showing that you know, consumers are utilizing their old gold to exchange for new jewelry that they are buying. Whenever we are seeing YTD growth of almost 25%, you know, year on year as on date, but in spite of the value growth of 25% in terms of volume, we are seeing that the volume growth is in very low single digit or almost zero, mainly because of the increase in gold price scenario. People are looking at buying lighter weight jewelry in 22 carat, or in diamond jewelry, we are seeing that there is a tendency to buy 9 carat and 14 carat just to make and fit into the budget of the consumer. One good thing that has happened, which is helping the profitability, is that the stud ratio continues to remain strong at about 12%. And our effort and endeavor is, as a company, that we continue to make good designs. We have right now more than 2 lakh designs in gold jewelry and 1 lakh plus designs in diamond jewelry. And the growth that we intend to do, I think we can be more sure that the 20% growth for the whole year will be very much in the pipeline. And continuing with new designs and working on optimizing the stocks at this high gold price scenario, we will continue to look at increasing the ROE and the ROCE of the company and take it to a very nice, handsome, robust levels. So thank you very much. From my side, I will request Mr. Banka to share his thoughts.
Yes, sir. Thank you. So just to give once again a sharper background, we have launched 6 showrooms in Q2, and total 16 showrooms we have launched so far, while we are cognizant for the SSG growth. So while the Q2 growth has been slower, and as you've said, that this industry sometimes depends upon the gold prices. So since the gold prices were extremely high in Q2, and the GST cut was very important, people were waiting for the new GST rate to come effect, and they had withheld their purchases for purchase of the capital goods. So that was one of the major reasons for the slower growth in Q2, coupled with global uncertainty, the rains in eastern India. And accordingly, the moment these things settled, we saw a huge growth in October, which was almost more than 50% growth YoY in October, 1,700 crore plus sales, and YTD growth again is back on track to 25%. And we have given a guidance of around 18%-20% growth for the rest of the year, which means that 25% plus 18%-20% for 5 months, we would be crossing 20% growth for sure for the whole year. Financial number you've seen, that the revenue growth in Q2 was 2% on a standalone basis. Your consolidated was 2%, standalone was 6%. But we have to see the number for the TTM growth. So when we have published that TTM number as well, and we are very happy to inform you that trailing 12 months sales had crossed 7,400 crore. This is one of good signs which shows that clearly for the whole year, we'll be crossing 7,400 crore. Similarly, EBITDA margin for the quarter and for the whole year has been range-bound. So you would see an EBITDA margin improvement by 340 basis points from 3.5% to 6.9% on consolidated basis. And similarly, EBIT margin growth YoY from 3.3% to 6.9%. Once again, 360 basis points growth. And moreover, for Q1 and Q2, both taken together, the PAT is 153 crores. This is almost 75% or 80% of last year PAT. Obviously, the adjusted PAT was slightly higher at 200 crores. So this indicates that the business is quite solid and remains on track based upon the improved stud ratio, the pricing power which we enjoy. As you are aware, that a lot of discounting happened in the market, but we maintain the brand image perfect. We don't indulge into discounting either in the making charges. We rather play in attracting our customers with more new designs and attractive offers. So this is one part. Similarly, if you look at balance sheet, you will find an increase in the inventory level from around 3,500 crore level to 4,200 crore level, which we have explained. This has got two reasons. One is that there is preparedness, and secondly, the gold price rise impact. Similarly, borrowing had also increased, so they have settled down now. But this is a business where the business is hungry for growth, and more capital will be required for inventory. And when I say capital, I mean capital employed. So that we will continue to infuse in the business in the form of plowback of profits. That's one. The net debt to equity is also in the range of 0.75. Overall, we are very confident that the business is showing its resilience despite competitive pressure in the market, but we maintain our strength in the market. An important point was the GML. which rate had increased in quarter four and in the beginning 2 months, the GML rates has come down. So I think that the slight risk on the profitability which was there, that has also come down. So that will add another 20 crore rupees to the PAT for the whole year. Our working capital limits are in place. Overall, we are very much poised for the wedding season now for Q3 and Q4. With that, we open the call for question and answer, and we'll be very happy to answer your queries and curiosity about our company. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Banka. Thank you, everyone. I think now we can take any questions from all of the participants.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vidisha Seth from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, I just had one question. If you all can update on the status of the levels of GML or non-GML borrowing and cash flows as of date or as of October. Just trying to understand the issue here, because typically every second quarter and as of the first half of every year, the inventory balance would be elevated given the upcoming festive and wedding season. But was wanting to understand what led to the GML mix going down. Were there any issues on the margin side of it? Or was it a conscious call, if you can please elaborate?
Yeah. So, as you said, Vinisa, the inventory was lower in quarter one. And that's why from around 65% level, it had come to 51% level. Although the GML availability had improved in quarter two, but once again, as you are aware, GML is on unfixed basis. And due to the extreme volatility in the gold prices, we were receiving a lot of margin calls. So to avoid the margin call pressure, we resorted to CC instead of GML. So it was primarily due to the gold prices rise and volatility, and to avoid the margin calls on the GML.
So just a follow-up then to this, then what is the approach that you're looking to take going forward? Because gold prices, I mean, it can't be predicted very accurately, right? But on the other hand, you said that you're wanting to increase the GML mix. So how should one think about this sourcing mix going forward?
It's a very dynamic situation. See, it cannot be predicted. It's a cash flow management on day-to-day basis. While our ideal target to take the GML to 75% remains there. But as of now, we are seeing volatility for last 3-4 days. So going forward, we have to see. But in terms of impact, the differential impact is what? Around from 6.5, from let's say the GML interest rate is 3.5% and CC is around 9%. 6% on the differential will not be huge amount. So we weigh the benefit of this higher interest rate on the CC versus the margin call and accordingly calibrate to ensure that our both the profit target, the OPEX, as well as the cash flow availability, all these three angles are balanced properly, and we will manage it properly.
Sure. And would you be able to share the current GML levels or as of October 25?
It's too early. I don't have exact number, okay. But I think it will be around 54-55% only, because the rates remain volatile. The margin call risk is there. There is always a risk of gold rate moving in either direction. So better to manage the working capital more importantly at this stage.
Okay. And the second question was, while you've called out that at retail level, you've seen 50% plus kind of a revenue growth, would there be a similar divergence between retail versus company level sales, or can we expect company level sales also to be north of 30-40% for the month of October?
Sir, can take that.
No, I think that the divergence won't be happening. This kind of growth that we have mentioned is at a retail level as well as at a company level. Yes.
Noted. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raj Saraf from Finvestors. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yes, yes, you are.
Yeah. So a couple of questions from my side. So, I just want to understand that every gold jewelry company in the country, listed and unlisted, has though they have the volume to grow for this quarter, but the sales number is actually a multiplication of volume and the growth in the gold prices. So by the virtue of that, they have posted at least, if I talk about the biggest peer, that is a north of 20% sales growth. So I just want to understand that, does the spending pattern in the region in which majority of our branches are also a factor?
So are you saying about the volume degrowth and the profitability linked to that? Just to clarify what exactly is the question.
I just want to understand that our majority of our branches are in eastern sectors. So that is the reason, or spending pattern of that region is actually pushed us to have degrowth in this quarter, while our each and every peer has posted some kind of sales growth driven by the gold price spike. So why didn't we able to get our revenue at least passing with a good number?
Right. Okay. Yeah. See, there could be a possibility that 60 to 65% of our stores and business is from the eastern part of the country. And as a result, in Q2, we have seen that the growth has not happened as per our peers. But, all in all, if we look at H1, and if we also, while October, we have seen the growth that has happened, and also the growth that we are seeing continuing in the month of November, it kind of, reinforces the fact that a particular quarter does not really should be a matter of concern and worry. And also amongst our consumer base, and we must keep in mind that almost 65% of the business that we get is from our loyal customer base and our repeat customers. So for them as well, everyone looks forward on buying something for the auspicious season, and there were continuous effort and relationship building exercise during the month of September, and as a result, we have seen that in October, we have had a growth of almost 55-60%. So maybe that is one of the reasons why the other peers have not been able to, see that growth level in October that we have seen. But all in all, in YTD, again, maybe I'm repeating that we are seeing a YTD growth of almost 25%. As on date.
Mr. Saraf, what to understand?
Mr. Saraf, if I can build on this query,
yeah.
West Bengal and eastern region of India has been, in fact, somewhere I've read that West Bengal is among the top five fastest growing economy state in India. So to speculation, eastern states are growing equally. The spend in eastern state remains same. This disparity which we are trying to see, whether the eastern states have grown less, whether consumer spending has reduced, that is not the reason. So it says so maybe Durga Puja could be one of the reasons. GST 2.0, where customers have suspended their purchase of capital goods. So the cultural pattern varies from region to region. I think that could be one of the reasons, and that's why we have disclosed this Dhanteras sale. And 25% growth is here, while 80% of our sales come from eastern region. Even from future perspective, the market is quite strong. The GDP growth in the eastern region is strong. The state governments are stable. your Bihar results will come soon. We think that on a pan-India basis, our business remains bearish in terms of growth. While there has been a slight difference in the growth, but overall, for a long term, we see our portfolio equally distributed and totally de-risked, and we are always confident of 18%-20% growth year-on-year for next 5-10 years minimum.
Okay, sir. And so the next some questions on margin this year has been to H1 that is north of 9%. So our sustainable margin is 7%. Though I have gone through the presentation in which there is a mention that this year the margin would be 8%. So just want to understand how much hedging has helped us, and are we hedged? How much percentage are we hedged right now?
So our sustainable EBITDA that we have always been speaking about is anywhere between 7 to 7.5, and to be more accurate, between 7.2 to 7.5, and it is a blend of the various channels of sales. It is a blend of the various products, whether it be gold, diamond, platinum, silver, all the various products that we are selling. So we will continue to reinforce the fact that this year also we should be clocking an EBITDA between 7.2 to 7.4% on a whole year's level. And hedging perspective, I would like to say that when it comes to hedging in terms of the sales that we are doing, we are almost hedging 90 to 100%, that is buying as much as we are selling. And if we are looking at the hedging levels of the inventory that we have, so in as we ended Q2, our hedging percentage has been in the range of 65 to 70%. So I guess that in the hedging might have an impact of 0.4-0.5% overall, but all in all, most of the gross margins and the profit that has been earned is from the making charges and from the diamond jewelry sales.
Okay. So just give me a clarification, sir, on the slide number 7 of your presentation. In the profitability growth para, in the last line you have mentioned that we have maintained our guidance of sustainable EBITDA margin of 7% range. FY26 EBITDA may be 8% range higher than our standalone outlook. So are you standing by these statements, sir?
No,
yeah,
Mr.
Yeah.
Who?
Yes, sir. Yeah, yeah. See, what we have clearly said, like, let's say in quarter one, it was 10%, right? In quarter two, it is around 7.4%. We clearly stand by our guidance of the range bound of, let's say, 7.1 to 7.4, and so for H1, since it is more than, I think blended is more than 8.5%, so for the rest of the year we are confident of 7% range, and hence the blended for the whole year will be higher. For future also, we are driving the business clearly with a minimum 7% EBITDA target. In fact, going year on year, as we are looking at improving our stud ratio, it should increase by 20-30 bits more, because with a larger network and with a larger brand building expenses, our strength will happen. And we let us very humbly highlight that our pricing is amongst the best in the industry. Without taking any name, we don't discount our product. We don't sell too much bullion. So if you look at even our coin sales, that is only around 4-5% maximum for a whole year. Rest assured of a minimum 7%. 7% range, I'm saying. Earlier we had 6.8 to 12.3.
Am I audible, sir?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, sir. So thank you very much for the clarification. And sir, just last question from my side. Sir, as you are saying that the consumer must have held themselves for the festive season. So I have gone through some of the peers' festive season updates. So two of the peers have grown even more than 70%, and one is more than 100%, which is in the southern state. So the trend is absolutely saying that the festive season has been good for every jewelers. What I'm not able to actually understand the, in our entire tier, why we have not grown in, on the sales number, whether each and every small and big company have grown at least the sales at least 20%, and we have not grown, sir. And one more also clarification, this is my last question. Year till date growth of 25%, it is on standalone basis or console basis? Because in the last S2 update which you have given, there have been written 6.5% growth, and there has been not written the standalone consolidated. So I was expecting at least that the consolidated number to be at least 6% more than the last quarter of the last year. That is what actually more than 2%, and the standalone number is 6.5%. So please clarify this.
If you look at the difference, it is around 40 to 50 crores, right? Between, say, a 2% and a 6%. So around 40-50 crore is the difference between standalone and console. So even when we are seeing a 1,700 crores versus a 1,100 crores, it is that we initially speak of standalone. And if there is any deviation, it will be in the range of 2%. So it is not going to be a major range. So our standalone and console, as I shared it in the previous answer, is at that same level. And this 24-25% growth that we are seeing on YTD, primarily it is on standalone, but the difference, even if it is there, will be in the range of 1-2%, not more.
Okay, sir. Yeah, thank you very much, and I wish you best of luck for the future.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Ankit Minocha from Azadi Ventures in Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. If I look at the sequential numbers for margins, what substantially changed in Q2 versus, say, Q1 and Q4 previous to that, the EBITDA margins have come down? What would you attribute this to? And could we also say that in Q4 and Q1, there was a higher level of inventory gains that would have not come in this quarter?
Mr. Banka, are you there to take the question? Yes. I just, while we are waiting for him to join. So, we have to understand that the 10% that had happened in Q1 was something that we explained in the last earning call is because of the hedging percentage being on the lower side, we could get some more profit. And we had also determined that that was in the range of 20 to 25 crore, and that was the Q1 scenario. But what we have seen in Q2 is that at the current hedging levels of 70%, the EBITDA numbers has stabilized. And what we always say that EBITDA will be in the range of 7 to 7.5%. So here we are seeing that the EBITDA is at the standard level with the stud ratio at around 12%, and then jewelry has been selling the way it has been selling. Another benefit that had happened in Q1 is that we had done an 1,800 crore sale, and leading to a higher overall absolute numbers of gross margin, which kind of percolated into the overall profitability. But in this Q2, we have had a 1,530 crores of revenue sale, and that is what the overall impact has been. And again, Q3, with a much higher sales number, we hope that when the sales number become a little higher, the operation leverages comes into the picture, and there could be some extra benefit if it happens. So yes, you could say that Q1 had an extra benefit of having a lower hedge ratio, but Q2 did not see any such extra benefit, and it is on the stable side as per our expectations.
How should we understand inventory gains losses that could be coming up considering your hedging policy? If it's, say, changing from quarter to quarter, then in that case, the margins would also be widely different. Also, should you not be seeing stronger EBITDA margins for the next two quarters for H2, considering the strong rise in gold and that we should expect some more inventory gains?
So, yeah. So see, in the first place, we are not guiding for higher EBITDA margin more than earlier we had said 6.8%-7.2%. But even right now I said 7.1%-7.3%. So clearly, the market is quite competitive. And see, every quarter we don't increase or reduce our prices, making charges or diamond prices, right? So clearly, we are expecting a range-bound EBITDA growth in future. And the pricing sometimes is dependent upon the extreme competition. Even some listed players are offering discounts on gold, giving up. So you see that we maintain our pricing policy very constant. We ensure that instead of offering discounts on the gold or making charges, we rather attract the customers with the new and innovative designs. So for future, look at similar number. Yeah, Q1 was higher, which we had called out that part of the higher. So when the EBITDA was around 10.1%, we had clarified that a part of higher EBITDA is due to the hedging, the realization gain. And you see that there are huge fluctuations in Q1 in the gold prices, whereas in Q2, the quarter-on-quarter increase in gold prices was only 6%. July and August were almost at the same level what was in June, and only in September partly it has increased, and that's why you have seen a stable EBITDA margin. Now, looking at Q3, you would have seen that the prices have come down, and if the prices remain stable in the same range, then you can certainly look at 7.1 to 7.4. But if prices rise considerably high, then we have to see what is the result. But minimum will be 7.1 to 7.2. Your hedging concern, I think if you kindly look at our presentation on hedging, we very clearly clarify that hedging has to be seen from two perspectives. One is on the sales hedging, which is almost 90 to 100%. I would rather go one step ahead and I will say 105%. Because whatever I sell, I have to purpose buy on the same day to keep my inventory level. And in fact, for the new stores and for upcoming festive season, I will end up buying more than that. So I will say 105%. So that is one very important part of the hedging. We can show that at a business level. So I'm distincting two parts. At a business level, definitely we don't lose. Now, accounting, once again, it is subject to the weighted average cost in there. I think as a swell businessman, as a prudent investor, we have to look both sides and the inherent strength of the business. I think that should be enough, and we will surely get a confidence into our business model and risk management practices.
Okay, yeah. Thanks for that. That's quite clear. My second question is with regard to now investment levels that you would have to see for, say, new franchise partners to come on board. I mean, considering how gold has risen, I believe the investment for a new franchise in the channel would be becoming significantly higher. How are you seeing the impact of this issue currently, and how do you think that this issue could be dealt with you in the future?
So see, one good thing that we have seen in this financial year is that we have already opened 8 franchisee stores, and the management focus is that we will drive in more and more franchisees. So we have about 8 to 10 more franchisees that are to be opened in the pipeline, and our effort is towards building connects and having a focus on opening more and more franchisees. So even in the future, when we plan to have our growth journey in terms of number of stores, we will continue to look at seeing as the opportunities that are lying in the tier 2, 3, 4 towns and cities. And in this increasing gold price scenario, two things have happened. One is that the confidence of not only the consumers but also the potential franchisee buyers on gold and silver as an asset class has grown. And the interest of theirs towards opening franchisee is also, very much there. It is just ability to have commercial capital to open the stores. And we have multiple formats of stores for Senco compared to many of our competitors. We have got stores in tier 2, 3, 4 towns and cities with various levels of inventories, and also our Everlight model, which is the 6, 7, 8 crores of capital required to open a store focusing on lightweight jewelry is very much there as well. So our focus is that the future growth potential will continue to remain strong, and our effort towards opening more stores through franchises will be there. Yes, as you said, that the other competition players are also there. So I think that the market overall, let us not forget that it is a large market, and India is shifting from an unorganized to organized situation. And in this scenario of higher volatile gold price, the players like us, the organized players, will continue to remain strong and keep opening stores. So I guess that's the way to look at it.
Sure. And my final question was to understand, say an inverse scenario happens and gold prices were to start going down next year. Now, what is the impact of that on the profitability and considering your hedging policy this year? So, I mean, what kind of scenario should we build in case gold prices start dropping slightly next year?
We have a very, strong framework and the hedging team is working as per that strong framework and guideline. And if the scenario of the same various scenario builds up that you are talking about, and if the gold prices suddenly is in a downward trend, then this 70% hedging can be very comfortably converted into a 80-85-90% hedging. And if you look at it, it is only in the last I would say 6 months to 9 months in this volatile gold price volatility that we are keeping our hedging ratio at about 60% to 70%. But in the previous financial years, we were at 85-90% hedging. So, there are certain constraints of liquidity, of margin calls that forces us to reduce our hedging position from 80-90% to 65-70%. But as you in your kind of a bearish scenario, we will make sure that as per the framework, we will increase our hedge percentage.
But on silk level, we are 100%.
And to again reinforce the fact that at the sales level, we will always remain at 90 to 100%. So that much confidence and comfort is something that you can take from us.
Right. Well, thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address all the questions from the participant in the conference, please limit yourself to 2 questions per participant. Should you need any follow-up question, you may rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Devanshu Bansal from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Hi. Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a good growth pickup in festive and the guidance upgrade on both growth and margin front. So, Ankur, I wanted to understand the payables have increased in H1. So, we were able to get higher credit period from our vendors. So, what different are we doing now in terms of sourcing versus what we were sort of practicing earlier? So just your thoughts, if there is a strategic change here.
The payables, is that what you're saying?
Yes, yes, payables have increased. So has there been a change in sourcing strategy? Has there been a change in credit terms from vendors? So I wanted some thoughts there.
No, Devanshu, what has happened is that in the month of September, it was just before the peak festive season. And this time, if you see that the Navratras started in the last week of September, and Dhanteras was in the middle of October, compared to usually Dhanteras and Diwali being towards the end of October. So as a result, with our expansion of network and the increase of stores, we try to ensure that we have enough inventory at the various store levels, and we have taken the support from our, you know, suppliers and vendors for the festive season to ensure that we have enough and more inventory at the stores. And it is because of that planning that we did, you know, from before, that we could make sure that the inventory was there in the stores during the peak festive season, and we could achieve the sales that we could achieve. So it was more from that perspective rather than any kind of change of policy. It was more in terms of planning that is the reason why the payables have been on that side.
Understood. So small follow-up on my first question. So that implies that debt levels would still have remained at the September end levels, right? So because whatever payable deductions must have happened must have been through internal accrual. So debt level sort of must be at a similar level as of now.
Yeah, at least for December, let's say the debt level has come down now. So the debt level was is always elevated in March and September for the Dhanteras preparedness, and it comes down by 300 to 400 crores. And by, let's say, by December, depending upon the seasonal requirement. But as far as March 26 is concerned, the debt level will be slightly more elevated than September level, because we'll be upstocking for the upcoming excess Tripya and Poila Boishakh, and for further 20% growth. So if it is TDM for 7400 crores and 20% you add on that, so the debt level will increase, but we have to look at the debt equity ratio, and net debt to equity is 0.75%. So business will continue to be range bound in terms of the financial indicators.
Yes, sir, I agree. The debt equity is in a good shape.
And Devanshu, see, business is very of most importance, and if you look at it, this time in the upcoming season, Akshaya Tritiya is in month of 19th of April, right? Usually, yeah. Akshaya Tritiya happens end of April or in May. This time it is in the 19th of April. So I think for the industry, we need to make enough and more inventory for that particular season and the day. So that is how we have to keep it in mind.
Fair enough. So second and last question from my end. So I was referring, this is in reference to studded sales. So there is almost a 25% better realization that we are able to command for studded sales. So wanted to check, is it largely due to increase in the gold component in our studded sales, or we are seeing better realizations for natural diamonds also within that mix? So just your thoughts here.
So I think that, you know, in terms of realization, we have had, you know, growth in diamond jewelry as well as, you know, value growth in gold jewelry, maybe. So I guess that, you know, with the festive season coming in and in October and the build-up, so it's been both sides. And we are also, you know, using technology and tools to optimize the stocks, and I think that is of most importance in this high gold price scenario. So there is a lot of, and I've been saying it in each and every earning call, that at store level, we are looking at the you know, faster moving inventory, the top selling design, all of it. And the merchandising team is working with their, and for the industry, when the gold prices have gone up by 40 to 50%, we have to actually get into the minute levels of what is the budget of the customers, what are the weight ranges that are moving. The same designs might be selling in a much lighter weight, and we have to keep working on that. So those kind of initiatives in terms of you know, building efficiency is being done, and I guess that could be one of the main reasons why you are seeing this kind of
So, Swanga, I was checking that in October you mentioned 30% growth in studded, and you mentioned that volume carat growth is 5%. So, there is 25% better realization that we are able to command. The question was, what is leading to this 25% rise? Is this largely due to the gold component within the studded sales, or this is also being led by better realization per carat for natural diamond. So that was what I was trying to...
Volume caratage. Sorry. The volume caratages have also gone up by, I would say low double digits. So there is some amount of caratage growth. And the gold aspect of it in the overall diamond jewelry has also played a role. And, along with 18 carat, 14 carat is of a critical nature. And we have also launched 9 carat purity products, and we are gradually doing that also to fulfill the demand of having products at the lower ticket size levels of consumers. So yes, then not only that the gold price has played a role, but diamond jewelry volume growth has also happened in the low single digit numbers.
And lastly, from a realization per carat of natural diamond, has that remained stable? How has that sort of moved, realization per carat of natural diamond?
Realization per carat of natural diamond has been stable. That has, the prices of natural diamond has not moved up the same way as it has with the gold prices. So per carat has been in the similar range.
Understood. Fair enough, sir. Thanks for taking my questions.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may please limit yourselves to two questions. The next question is from the line of Naveen Trivedi from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
So just quickly, what was the same-store sales growth for this quarter? And my second question is on the what are our gross margin for our studded jewelry? I think earlier we were guiding around 25-30% sort of a gross margin. So if you can just give us these two numbers.
So you have to look at the same-store sale growth for the quarter, for the half year, and also YTD. So first, in terms of SSG growth of Q2 has been -4%. SSG growth for six months, H1, has been +8%, and SSG growth for YTD October has been 17%. So that is where one has to look at the bigger picture. That is in terms of SSG. And the other question you had was
on the Naveen, actually, you asked a question on the gross margin on the studded product. I think this is slightly sensitive information and not so competitive, very competitive information. I think let us look at the blended gross margin and blended EBITDA. We can take this call one to one.
Okay, I was just trying to understand because our gross margin this quarter and the previous quarter had seen quite sharp sort of a recovery. There can be a little bit kind of a, because of studded also did well compared to the gold jewelry side. So just trying to understand the math for the gold jewelry gross margin, how that has kind of seen expansion, and then how the other rest of the business has seen.
Right. And then also, there are so much more detailing in terms of gross margin because of the product mix, because of the channel sales, all of that. So, yeah, we there are certain things we can share and certain things which are little confidential.
Just last bit question on the triple SSG, you mentioned -4%. Do you think that since our customer base is more for the lightweight jewelry, and slightly lower on the average order value, they are more sensitive to this gold inflation compared to kind of other players, and thereby we have seen this kind of a footfall issue and as well as the volume sort of a kind of a pressure this quarter. Is the understanding right?
See, this quarter, yeah, it is partially right, because this quarter is just like something that we could see that in the month of September, the gold prices started shooting up. And we could see that in the minds of the consumer while we were all reaching out and talking to them. There were confusion that is this gold price at these levels sustainable? Let us wait and watch. And, we will take the purchase decision later on. So that was a overall feedback that we got from our customer base. But this same customers who are in this kind of a situation of wait and watch. When actually in the month of October, as we moved really into the festive season, and you know, it was Diwali and Dhanteras, they went and they bought. So that is been the behavior of our consumers for this particular quarter, and that is where we are continuously guiding you all that don't get influenced by just the Q2 numbers, but look at the October numbers, and you will see that it is actually a maybe a postponement of sales from September to October, and that is the reason that has happened with our consumers. That is the way to look at it. And yes, the sensitivity of of price is there, but you look at the ATV numbers, that has also grown by 14 to 15%. Volumes have come down. We are also developing products which are within budget, lighter weight, so that our consumers can continue to afford and buy. We are focusing on everyday wear jewelry, not only the heavy wedding demand. So our whole thought process is that how the middle upper middle class of India can continue to buy jewelry even at these kind of volatile gold price scenario. So that's the way to look at it.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. Just little bit, since we are guiding second half with a very promising outlook. Now, if I look at the gold again, sort of seeing inflationary sort of a trend. When you are guiding this kind of a growth rate for second half, are we seeing that the gold sort of will remain in the lower side zone, and that's why you are kind of optimistic about second half, or you think that the gold can go up and then again you can customer base can still be in the sidelines and we may see some sort of a deceleration in the guidance compared to the guidance what we have, and that's all from my
side. Right. No, the second half. My optimistic guidance on the second half is because we have seen a very strong number in October, and we have seen that post Dhanteras usually people are in a mode of wait and watch, but this time we are in the middle of November, and we could see that there is consumers coming, buying, and the positive movement is there. Plus the number of weddings that were not there enough in Q2 this time. There are large number of weddings that are there in Q3 and Q4. So that is also giving us the confidence that consumers will be buying, and whether it be for gifting, whether it be for wedding purchases. So that will continue to happen. It is nothing really to do with gold price, but more with the other business opportunities related to jewelry buying. And that is how one has to look at it. And we are developing new designs to fulfill the need. So that's the other strength on which we are banking upon.
Yeah, thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavya Gandhi from Dalal & Broacha Stock Broking Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So I wanted one clarification. Say, for example, let's take an example. If our weighted average cost of inventory is 100 rupees and the gold price is currently at 150 rupees, so can we assume that until the gold price falls back to 100 rupees or below 100 rupees, we will not see any loss on inventory because we have to value inventory at cost or NRV? So is that the correct understanding? So even if in a rising gold scenario, that 100 has become 150, 150, say if it comes back to 130, still we will not see any loss till it reaches back to 100, which is the weighted average cost of inventory, which is sitting on your books. If you can provide some light on that.
Bhavya, it's a very long subject, so I would refer you to, I would request you to refer to the FAQ which we published in Q3 and even the current slide. It's a much longer discussion. And it's very difficult to explain in few words. So particularly, let's say my current inventory of 4200 crore, let's say it has got some rate. Let's say 12,000 rupees per gram. Okay. Now, the weighted average cost happens on a daily basis. So if the price comes down, the cost comes down. From that cost, the margin is decided. It is linked to the hedging level also. As we say that if price keeps coming down, we will swiftly increase the hedging ratio to 80 to 90%. So I think that are more of the accounting issue. Let us understand the business issue. Whatever I sell today at a lower price, the price comes down to, let's say, 9,000 rupees per gram. I will buy at 9,000 rupees per gram. The business model remains intact as it is. Now, accounting may impact the weighted average cost will never ever give a symmetric result for the same quarter. But if you look at two quarters or three quarters, it will normalize and it will become symmetrical. That is all I can say.
Okay. So my second question is regarding the OCF. Since last 4 years, we've seen negative OCF. So if you want to maintain 18% to 20% growth guidance for next maybe couple of years, so how do we fund our money for the cocoa? I understand one on the inventory side, you'll be taking GML, but ultimately you'll have to repay GML also. So on the OCF, if you can throw some light, when can we expect positive signs? Because gold price, let's assume that if it's trending upwards only, then your OCF will continue to remain negative. Then how do you balance growth versus OCF? Yeah.
So let me make it more simple, Javier, because OCF we are looking at from an accounting angle, operating cash flow. So if I have to set up, let's say, 10 more stores, 15 more stores next year, I need 300 crore rupees, that's all, right? 300 crore rupees will be funded from the PAT and the working capital borrowing. That's all. So the OCF, what you are seeing, is an optically looking negative. I looked at some other players as well. Somebody was positive, okay. But whenever there is a cash flow crunch, it is met by trade payable and for a shorter period, for Akshay Tritiya and Poila Baisakh and as well as Dhanteras. But the long-term plans are in place. The working capital line, which has been increased to 2,400 crore, for March 26, maybe it will increase to 3,000 crore by March 27. So every jewelry company, you see the working capital borrowing rises, trade payable rises, and the capital employed is partly funded by the either equity or QIP or the network or by the plowing back of profit. So we are in a very comfortable situation, and I want to assure you that OCF does not become an impediment for growth of the business.
Okay, got it. And just a follow-up on this as well. Sir, say for example, 18% to 20% if gold price remains stable or even if it falls, will we be able to substitute enough volumes? Because I understand you'll be adding new stores, 18 to 20 stores every year. Then SSG will go for a toss for the existing stores because then the gold price rise won't take place. So then how do you get to that 18% to 20% mark on a longer term basis?
No. We have always been stating the fact that, whether if we consider a stable gold price scenario, our SSG is in the range of 12 to 14%. And, the new stores add about 6 to 8% in the overall growth. So when the gold prices will be stable or it will be down, and it is not something that, we have seen recently, but over the last 15-20 years, that consumers start buying higher quantities, they get more stable, more customer acquisition, more footfalls, and that will compensate for the stable or lowering of the gold price. So that is the way moving forward. So in an increasing gold price scenario, value will go up, come down. In a decreasing gold price scenario or a stable, volumes will go up, value will be in the same kind of range. So that's the way to look at it, and we are confident to keep on achieving the same.
Got it. And just last thing, if I can squeeze in, hypothetically, let's assume for this entire 4,200 crore inventory, if you want to hedge 100%, how much running capital do you require? Maybe like 10% is the margin money that you require, and some you want to have money for mark to market. In absolute capital terms, if you can tell me what could be the amount, say for example 500 crores, 300 crores, just broad range also will help, just for a layman to understand.
So Bankaji,
I think what he's saying is that right now it is something that cannot be said off the cuff. He will have to do some checking and then get back to you.
Sure. Okay, sir. That's it from mine. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit yourself to one question per participant. Should you have any follow-up question, you may rejoin this queue. The next question is from the line of Rupesh from Longevity Partners. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Most of my questions are answered. I just have two data-keeping questions. First is, in Q2, in Q1, you said 20 crore was the inventory gain at the gross level. So if you can give similar number for Q2. And second question is, stud ratio, I think, is at 12%. And we are looking at a strong wedding season. So do you see this number going to maybe 12.5 in, let's say, March, and then maybe we can target 13 next year? So these are the two questions.
So I missed the first question. Kindly repeat. Certainly in Q1, due to the higher EBITDA of 10.1%, based upon our working, it was around 20 crores we said as a realization gain. Are you asking what is the realization gain in Q2?
Yes.
It is around 526 crores. In the opening remark itself, so let's say there is, it is around 50 basis points on 1500 crore. So that is the number.
So 7-8 crores, around 7-8 crores, okay?
Yeah. 7-8 crores. So to put it differently, had we held the 80%, then the EBITDA would have been lower by maximum 7 crores of this.
Okay, okay. And the stud ratio for second question, yeah.
What was the second question, please?
So I said the stud ratio is already at 12% in first half. We're looking at a strong wedding season, Q3, Q4. So do you feel we can go to, let's say, 12.5 by March and then maybe target 13, 13.5 next year?
So we are definitely aspiring. Our whole focus is to delight the customers with more and more jewelry designs. So the number is just a percentage. Our target is to reach out to more customer with diamond jewelry. And why 13.5%? If I have my research, I would like to make it 15%. But yes, for the rest of the year, it all depends upon the market competitiveness. So despite the best of designs we provide, so you have seen a huge growth in Q3, in Q4 and Q1. It was slightly lesser in this quarter. Because the people found it attractive to invest in gold and they were looking at a huge profit. So it is a question of choice versus treating gold as investment. And we will use a middle path to attract both stream of customers. So to give answer to your question, yes, we are looking at 13%, 13.5% for FY27. Now for H2, we are ready with a lot of designs with a higher focus on the lightweight diamond jewelry, and as you say, it's a social media world. People focus more on the earring and the necklace, etc. So we are prepared for that.
Okay, okay. Thank you for answering my questions.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, please restrict yourself to one question only. The next question is from the line of Vijay Chauhan from Right Horizon PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so if you can just like qualitatively mention about the consumer trends in the wedding season that is started right now. And is there any challenges we are looking at in terms of, let's say, consumer buy pattern? So that will be quite helpful. So I'm looking for mainly for the qualitative point of point and the growth that we have mentioned for the October in the press release. So are we expecting similar kind of growth in the November, or we see like tapering down the growth because it was more of a festival related sales? So any verbal or any specific range will be also helpful on that side. Yeah.
So the October sales growth is because of the festive season. And we think that the growth will continue to happen, but not in the same rate as we have seen in October, but from a subjective description point of view, we are still seeing growth of 20% and upwards in the current scenario also. That is one. Second is that consumers are kind of accepted these high level of gold prices, and whether be it from their old gold exchange or from buying with the money that they have. I think that they have realized that yes, gold will remain in this scenario and they will have to buy. But at the other end, we have seen that while the ATV and ASP have gone up by 15% to 18%, but the weight ranges that people have bought on an average has come down by 10% to 12%. So if suppose someone was buying 10 grams worth of jewelry is now buying 9 grams worth of jewelry. So that is the other aspect that we have been seeing from a level of subjectivity. And yes, lighter weight jewelry, whether not only in terms of small items of ring, earring, pendant, chains, but then we have also seen that in necklaces and bangles also, consumers are trying to opt for something which is lighter, spread out look and lighter in weight. And I think for Senco Gold and Diamond, that is our strength, and over a period of time, we will be working towards, developing more and more in those kind of ranges. Also, in terms of purity, 22 karat gold was always in demand, but the Indian consumers in many places are also looking at 18 karat hallmark jewelry, and those are certain, initiatives that we are taking to keep those kind of 18 karat jewelry inventory in certain stores and markets. And in diamond jewelry also, along with 18 karat, we are reducing more and more on 14 karat and experimenting with 9 karat. So in this scenario, what's going to happen over a long period of time is that the volumes in terms of, if we convert everything into a 24 karat volume, you will see that the volumes in 24 karat will not see that much growth. But in terms of absolute numbers, in terms of making charges, in terms of diamonds, there should be more growth in those aspects. But it's a much more longer-term scenario that I'm trying to explain to you all. So yes, I hope I could answer a part of at least the feedback that you are looking for.
Yeah, quite good. Thank you and good luck for the future.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ananya Singh from Sowilo Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So a couple of questions. My first question would be, how is the demand shaping up for us after the festive season, particularly with the strong festive sales? And given the festive season sales, what is our strategy for managing working capital in the upcoming months, just to ensure smooth operations during the wedding season?
So the demand post-festive season continues to remain strong. As I mentioned before, we are seeing growth momentum of upward of 20% that continues to stay, and that is a good sign. The other part in which you are saying that what is the strategy that we have, so currently in November, December, January, we will continue to focus on the wedding jewelry as a segment and the wedding buyers and the family of wedding buyers. So that one remains in that focus area. And then as we move on to Jan-Feb, it's going to be, the Valentine's Day, the love season, and the diamond jewelry focus will continue to remain. And this is something that we've been doing historically as well. So that's how one has to look at it. And by the end of January, February, it will be time to plan for Akshaya Tritiya, and which is in the middle of April. So that's one thing that we need to all keep in mind. And we just want to also kind of keep all our, investors aware of the fact that every time, whenever there is an election happening in any of the states, so we see that during those 15 days, 1 month, there is a little bit of a slowdown. So we need to be conscious of the fact that how those kind of events are, occurring, and for those times, we need to plan from before and ensure that either the inventory is there and the customer reach out happens in the planned manner. So this is something that we all should be conscious of.
Okay, understood. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ranganathan from Avengers Park. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Sir, my question is on how is your non-core geography or non-Eastern geographies performing? If you could give us some color in terms of how the growth has been and also in terms of profitability.
So you know, it is much easier to, share with you the growth that we have seen in the out of East India markets. And because the bases are on the lower side, so we have seen growth happening overall in the range of 25% to 30%, if you look at it at the overall numbers. So there are certain quarters that certain, zones does a little better than the others. But all in all, if you look at the YTD numbers, the out of East India markets have been growing at around, upwards of 25%. So that's the way to look at it. And in terms of profitability, it's not about East or out of East. It's overall, whenever we open a new store, we usually say that it takes about 1 year if it is a store in East India market to break even, and it takes about 2 to 3 years for a non-East India store to break even. And out of the total number of stores we have, we can comfortably say that 90% of our stores are at operational level break even, and 8-10% of the stores are something that we are all working towards having a higher growth and higher sales so that the break even numbers can be reached.
Thank you, sir. That's it for me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Himanshu from MB Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. My question is, how are we going forward in the upcoming quarter? So generally, it's been seen September is quite a subdued quarter for you all. And this time around, it has been quite significant. So what was firstly the reason for that? And secondly, going forward, how are we going to tap into the coming wedding season and the engagement season that's going to come in? And how is the next quarter, are you expecting? December is generally a good quarter for you. So is it going to be a significantly good quarter, or is it going to be in the mid-range, or is it going to be bad?
So, we have seen a growth of almost 55 to 60% in month of October itself. And currently we are seeing a growth of upwards of, 20% close to 25% YTD. So we are, kind of positive and optimistic with a strong Q3 as we see it is. And the question on your Q2 for us always has been amongst, in all the quarters, a kind of a slow quarter. Only in the last financial year, Q2, because of the duty cut, had a very, strong demand from the consumer side. But other than that, Q2 has always been historically amongst the slower quarters in all out of all the quarters. So I guess that is what we have been seeing in this particular financial year. And with the wedding season and the focus on diamond jewelry, we will be looking and targeting on those consumers that are there for those segments, and continue to create products and marketing campaigns around it. So we'll be launching our, we have already launched our wedding campaign, and we'll be launching on our new set of collection for diamond jewelry. And that's how we are looking at the days ahead.
Fair enough. Just now, another follow-up question. I'm from Gwalior. I visited your store, local store in Gwalior, and I visited Tanishq's store. So I think Tanishq is the benchmark for jewelry in India. So how would you differentiate between Tanishq, and what would you say you have a better competitive edge than Tanishq in, say, like, what is it like that goes for Senco as a company?
I think one of the competitive edge for us could be a wider range of jewelry that we provide to the customer, right? So this is something that we have, what I'm saying is from our belief and what we hear from the customer base. So the range of jewelry from a lower ticket size to a higher ticket size, we keep a wider range. In terms of overall designing, we also try to keep a much more variety of design. And I guess that's how it is. You have been to our Gwalior store. So I think that, you know, what I am aware of is that compared to Gwalior store of Tanishq, we have been able to try our level best to build relationship with the customers and give them that variety. So, and the store has been in a strong growth phase. So we are being able to connect with the consumers there and provide them with the kind of designs that they're doing. And in terms of diamond jewelry, I would say I wouldn't want to compare with any particular competitor. They are all our peers and we respect each other. But we are also working hard to provide diamond jewelry within the budget of the customers and keeping the margins that we have, we are trying to be as competitive as possible. So that is how we are working towards it.
Fair enough. Just another follow-up quick question. Let's say there's a new franchise opening and you...
One question.
Just it's another follow-up question. So the question is, what is the tentative investment of a full-fledged flagship store, tentatively, whether it any region, like you would say, on an average?
No, it's like, a flagship store, a value store, there are various levels. For a full-fledged flagship store, we will say not in terms of value, but in terms of kilos, anything around 30 to 40 kg of inventory would make it a full flagship store. And in the tier 2, 3 towns and cities, that quantity can come down by a certain extent, and there has to be faster replenishment and fulfillment of stock. So that's how one has to look at it, and this is the model with which we are working.
Okay. Thank you so much. That'll be all from my side. Wish you guys the very best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next is a follow-up question from Raj Saraf from Finn. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Also, sir, thank you for giving me to ask the question as a follower. So, just wanted the carat-wise revenue percentage and margin in each carat jewelry.
Sure, sir.
Rajji, what we want to know, carat-wise margin percentage.
Carat-wise, sir, like gold jewelry, like 22 carat, 18 carat, 14 carat, and 9 carat. So carat-wise revenue share and margin in each carat.
I think these are extremely confidential information. See, these are basically pricing driven by market competition, availability, competitive edge. I don't think that this should be shared in the earning call.
Just wanted to understand, sir, if you can't share that lower margin, lower carat gold jewelry, it has been more margin percentage.
No, I think these are business secrets.
Okay, sir. But then the other question is, sir, how we see the store addition? Are we planning to diversify more to south and western regions?
No, our focus, as you said, will continue to be east and north. South and west will be more for a only specific cases. And that's when we talk about south. As of now, it is only Bangalore and Hyderabad. When we talk about west, it is clearly Mumbai, Pune, and Nagpur. We've opened a franchise store. It's a very selective rollout because there is huge potential still left in east and north. Once that is fully captured, then only we'll go. And as we all know, that the margins are very low in south particularly, where there's huge competition. And if you look at the public result of the obviously you will be able to understand it. So we are highly focused on margins, ROE and ROC, and hence east and north will be our first choice only. And almost 80% of the future growth, if we are looking, let's say 20 to 25 stores next year, 80% will come in east and north. We have the blueprint ready in front of us.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Suvankar Sen for closing comments. Please go ahead.
I would like to, you know, extend my gratitude to all the members who have attended the conference and for continuously encouraging and supporting us and the team for our endeavors. And I would like to reiterate that, you know, as we see, currently the YTD growth is happening at approximately at 25%. So this gives us a lot of optimism and confidence that we should be able to achieve our 20% growth year-on-year. And we have already crossed 5,000 crores of turnover. So therefore, we are very much in the journey. And the, you know, EBITDA, as we go closer and closer to the end of the year, we will be more and more confident in terms of giving the accurate figures. But on an estimate basis, we are looking at anything between 7.2%-7.4% for the rest of the year. And that will how, you know, it will all shape up. And our effort will be towards the wedding jewelry segment and diamond jewelry in the upcoming seasons to capture the best of the consumer demand and continuously creating designs and products that will fit into the budget of the middle and upper middle class customers in this kind of a volatile gold scenario. So we are sure of the steps that we can take and driving on the efficiencies, looking at the data, exactly what is selling where, and trying our level best to ensure that our investors need of a very good number of ROT and ROC is met, and we'll work towards the same. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks, everybody. Grateful to you for your support and trust in Senco. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Senco Gold Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.